Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a beautiful ocean.
Welcome to Empowering Radio, brought to you by MyEmpoweredWorld.com. My name is Evan Dorian, and I'm your host tonight, joined by co-host Craig Cook, and it's time to elevate the mind, body, and spirit. So thank you for joining us tonight. Just a little recap, My Empowered World is here to inspire, transform, and empower the human experience. And we help you achieve this by providing empowering experiences through content, products, tools, and services that elevate the mind, body, and spirit, resulting in a world that becomes a better place for everyone. So be sure to check out our website, MyEmpoweredWorld.com. Sign up for our free daily empowerment emails. Also, follow us on our social network channels, Facebook. We're on Twitter and Instagram. And that will get you connected into our ecosystem and empower your world daily. So if anyone has any questions tonight, feel free to post them on our Facebook wall, and we'll try to answer them before the end of the show. Craig, how are you doing tonight? Good to have you.
I'm doing good, doing good. It's been a pretty busy week, but it's all good. A lot of good energy the past few days. Things are good. How about you?
Nice. I'm great. I'm excited to be on the show tonight, and it was. I like starting off the show with our "Life is a Beautiful Ocean." Let's bring that back. Felt good.
Yeah, I noticed that. I got excited when I saw that being queued up. I thought, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
love that song.
Start with our roots. Bring back our roots.
There you go, back to the roots.
Yep. Well, we have a great guest tonight. He is a My Empowered World contributor, and he is making his third guest appearance on Empowering Radio. And his name is Jason Demakis. And Jason is a very gifted writer, obsessed with all things personal growth, and he inspires and empowers others on a daily basis through a variety of media, online and offline. Jason's focus is on consciously bringing the totality of our being into congruency so we may experience our full potential, manifest our highest goals and desires, and achieve the highest level of self-fulfillment possible. So tonight's show, we'll be discussing the nature of belief and perception, and then also we'll talk about how our thoughts actually create a reality experience, and the nature of workings of intuition from a metaphysical perceptive, and also how we can use this information to empower us forward in life. So, Jason, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, welcome back to Empowering Radio. Well, let's jump right into it.
All right.
Well, let's go here. So, Jason, let's cue it up. You've been on here twice now on the show, and it's been great conversation both times. And this is going to be the same thing tonight. Jumping right into it, let's talk about our reality and experience. And the question really here is, how do our perceptions and beliefs create our reality and experience? But also, before you even answer that, how about you define, the difference between perception and belief, what that nuance is, and then get into how that helps shape and create our reality?
Definitely. That was a great lead-in question there, because it's imperative to define what the difference between a belief and a perception is. As most of the viewers will know, there's your beliefs do play a key role, but perception is kind of that little subtle nuance that's like the first domino, I like to call it. It's the first kink in the chain that sets everything off. Your perception of reality is beyond belief. It's just whatever the raw data is that's coming in, you know, what do you see, what do you feel, you know, touch, you know, sense, sound, smell, five senses. Before you can do anything, you have a perception of reality. And then after your perception comes a belief which filters that perception and colors it. And then that's where you get your interpretation of reality. What meditation does is it seeks to get you away from the belief and just towards the raw perception, and then you eventually realize that you are imbuing your perception with beliefs that you are choosing to adopt, and then that's where you can kind of regain your power. When you understand how that works, you can go, oh, okay, you know, reality is just neutral, but it's my beliefs about what reality could be or what could happen or what might happen that's creating anxiety, makes me want to procrastinate, or makes me really enthusiastic about taking a particular action. So what I usually do with my clients, or, you know, in my writing, I try and help people understand, you know, that difference between perception and belief, because when you say beliefs create reality, people are like, well, you know, I could just say I believe the sky is orange, and that's not going to change the reality of the sky being blue. It's like, no, you don't understand what we're saying. We're saying, on a fundamental level, how you go about your daily reality is influenced by your subconscious beliefs that you're holding. And until you get back to your center of perception, you won't realize that you're actually, I almost call it like you're writing, you're writing out loans and the interest isn't even due yet. You're creating a situation out of a completely neutral situation, but we usually don't realize we're doing that. And that's when we can get into lots of trouble.
Interesting. Yeah, that's, kind of going to what you said a minute ago, one of the things that people commonly complain about, say positive thinking in general, oh, that doesn't work. And you know, picking what you're saying here, people that kind of have that negative experience with it is most likely they've already have preconceived perceptions that have formulated beliefs that are counter to what they're trying to positively think about and bring about, but they're already entrained with these preconceived beliefs and perceptions that is causing a block.
Right.
Would that be true? Yeah. Cool. So how about giving us an example of how someone would change their perceptions and beliefs? And you mentioned meditation, but if there's some sort of example or even personal experience that you can share with the audience.
Yes, definitely. It's definitely, there's a feedback loop at play. I always like to say perceive before you believe, and then you can, I always say perceive before you believe, and then you can change your belief, and you will shift your perception of reality along with it. So it sounds kind of confusing, but if you find yourself thinking negatively or, you know, harshly towards life in general, you probably have a belief block somewhere that's painting the situation out to be worse than it really is. If you can reconnect with yourself and, you know, center yourself and go, okay, I'm perceiving reality this way. What would I have to believe is true in order to truly believe that, you know, my life sucks or, you know, things aren't going great or this or that? And when you get down to it and you realize that you're just choosing to perceive a certain way, which is all a belief really is, then you can choose to believe in a different way and re-perceive reality from a more empowering perspective. And when you give yourself the freedom and the liberty to start believing in things that you might not be able to see in your reality yet, you will begin shifting your reality towards those things. When you shift your mood, you'll start to shift your reality, and your experiences and opportunities will begin to reflect the state of being you occupy. And I've seen it so much in my own life, so much in my clients' lives, and so much in people I talk to's life. There's absolutely like a higher causality to this reality that we're all embedded in. I'm sure you guys have had some pretty serendipitous synchronicities in your life that kind of, you know, came about last minute or defied the odds and, you know, just bridged the gap perfectly between where you needed to go or what needed to happen, and things just work out smoothly. And it's when we get out of the way and we understand what we're actually doing and how we're dancing with reality is when we can start using the power of the illusion to our advantage instead of our detriment.
Right. I feel like sometimes, if you really stop, I feel like sometimes we're kind of wired to maybe go negative on stuff. But if you really stop
right
and think about where your thoughts are going and you kind of catch it saying, hey, I'm taking up, this is going negative, and let me just stop and really think about this. Do I need to react this way or do I need to take it this way? And you can kind of, like you're saying, you can shift your reality based on your thoughts. And if you really stop and think about, you can change. You can change it. You know.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a good segue into the next question. But you know, before we get into the next question, that has to do with kind of some pessimism and cynicism. What about if we take a quick station break, Evan?
Yeah. We'll be right back with Empowering Radio.
You're listening to Empowering Radio from My Empowered World. Visit us at myempoweredworld.com. Become a subscriber and get daily inspirational messages delivered to your inbox.
We're back with Empowering Radio, brought to you by myempoweredworld.com, with our guest tonight, Jason Demakis. Let's just jump right back into it. Craig, you want to ask Jason the next question?
Sure, I'll pick it up here. All right, so now we're talking about the nature of belief and so forth and perception and how it shapes reality, and we started getting into this conversation about, you know, how negative thoughts can affect things. So from this philosophy about the nature of belief and that you're talking about, you know, what are some things that can be said about procrastination, pessimism, cynicism, you know, people that are kind of seen as negative Nancys, things like that?
Definitely. That all absolutely ties in, as we were saying a minute ago, your attitude. Your general overall outlook on life is going to be kind of like your, it's going to be sort of like your home frequency, your home setting, whatever your normal, you know, mood or your mental climate is, that's kind of like your home base where you're sitting, your neutral or your zero point. That's like what you are throughout your day when you're just, you know, you're not really worried about much, you're not too excited, you're kind of just in your normal state. And that's where most of us usually are. But when we shift into states like negativity or cynicism or pessimism, when we entertain thoughts like that, what we start doing is we start influencing our emotional centers, and that type of stuff is what creates your reality. It could be argued that emotions, in a sense, kind of travel through time from a quantum mechanical perspective because of the way consciousness attracts like experiences, and those are all triggered by our emotional centers. If you look into like esoteric or occult literature, and they talk about, you know, the chakra points and the energy vortices of the body, these are the types of things that are drawing in on a quantum level your experiences. If you're resonating with pessimism and cynicism, you are going to attract situations which reinforce that belief and that reality, that emotional signature. So the irony here is people that don't think that their thoughts create their reality, they're giving up half of the equation, and they're just leaving half of it up to chance. And we all know that when you leave things up to chance, you may or may not get what you want. But if you learn to understand how your state of being bends probability for you, like I said earlier, you can start using that information to kind of clear a path for yourself in life. Instead of, you know, getting down about things, you can go, okay, you know, things might not be ideal right now, but I'm not doing myself any favors by being cynical about this. I'm going to shift myself to a more positive state, a more productive state, and then through that, you'll begin to feel more inspired and empowered to take action towards the things which will shift your reality towards the things you say you want. And I see it all the time, man. People are very skeptical until they see it in their own lives, and it's funny to see how simple that switch is once they go, oh, my gosh, now I know what you're saying. I get it now. You know, I did a 180 this week, and everything is different because before I felt like I had to be cynical, but now I understand that I don't need to be, and I have a choice, and that's really all it is. It's kind of like realizing that you have the key the whole time to unlocking yourself, really. It's not out there. It's inside, and it sounds stereotypical, but all those, like, you know, gurus, geishas, all those guys, they were onto something when they said, you know, like, inward is the way to go when you want to shift the outward, and I feel like Western science is starting to really catch up to that in a lot of different ways.
Right. Would you say that maybe a good example of this, of what you're talking about, would be, say, for example, someone who has this kind of pessimistic attitude, you know, they're letting those negative emotions hit their emotional body. That's what's kind of attracting into the emotional body, which then makes its way into the energetic body. That's a layer that's kind of like peeling back the onion, in a sense. And then as the energetic body is being affected, by these negative emotions that ends up eventually manifesting itself into the physical body. So, for example, maybe it's like a stomach ulcer or something to that,
yes,
that respect,
exactly.
Right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I was going to say it's not just environmental. Your blood pressure will go up. You could get an ulcer. You could have a stroke. I don't want to say you could have these things, but I mean you increase your odds of that. It's kind of like putting undue stress on your body and your endocrine system and your glands and all that. You know, they're picking up double duty when you're stressed, and when you don't control that, even if you're not trying to like manifest reality or create reality, just giving yourself peace of mind, it does wonders for your body, and that alone can free you up to do amazing things.
Right. Well, let's jump over to another topic. Somewhat related. You know, when you mentioned mind, and we're talking metaphysics here, when we talk about intuition and what that is, because sometimes people may think, well, that's just the mind thinking, but it goes deeper than that, of course. And why don't you talk about that for a few?
Are you there?
Oh, yep, guys, I'm sorry. It sounded like you cut out there for a second on that last question.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, just talking about what intuition is, if you can, from your viewpoint, from a metaphysical perspective, talk about intuition.
Definitely. Yep, again, it all ties in. Intuition for most would be considered, like a hunch or a strong gut instinct that something is to either, do this or that, or something is really right or really wrong, and you don't really have a logical or a mental explanation for it yet, but you just have like an immediate download where it's like, okay, for some reason I feel like I should go do this or I should not go do that, or even though all signs outside of me are saying no, I have this something inside of me that's saying go right now, do this. But the more we follow that signal, the more that it proves itself to be valid, the more we can start differentiating that between anxiety and procrastination, which often masquerades as intuition in disguise, and we kind of go, I feel like doing this, and I don't feel like doing that. From a metaphysical perspective, your intuition, I'll go ahead and I'll just assert this right now, and anyone can feel free to argue with me later on via social media. But I would assert that your intuition, the core of your being, is your truest compass pointing to your true magnetic north. Your intuition is the seat of your subconscious. It's where your spirit, your core essence is, and it's trying to communicate with you through your vastly dense layers of social conditioning and preconception and biases about reality, like we were talking about earlier. And your intuition is almost like a text message from the universe going off in your pocket, if you want. It's vibrating, and you should answer it, and you don't know why it's going off, but when you do pay attention to it, it starts to make sense and lead you down some pretty interesting paths. My intuition led me to create content that eventually led me to where I am right now, talking to you on the radio for my third time. My intuition has guided me to starting meditation classes in my community. My intuition has led me to write all the articles that I write, and so far the feedback from those has been pretty positive. So I would say that intuition is a pretty powerful mechanism once you get in touch with it. Were there any specifics about intuition you guys wanted to talk about? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's delve into this and explore it a bit. Which some people would say that intuition comes from the higher self, but what would you say to that?
I definitely agree. I would say the higher self is ultimately your true core consciousness. Again, in esoteric literature, I don't know how many readers follow along, but it's hypothesized that your higher self lies at the boundary between your final perfected form of individualized consciousness. When you reincarnate as many times as you need to, when you learn all the lessons you need to know, you're basically like, before you rejoin source consciousness, you're like this perfected, finalized individual form. And that's kind of what our intuition is. It's that feedback loop from our higher self that's, lying way out in the perfected future somewhere. And it's saying, hey, if you follow this signal, you will resonate with me. And if you resonate with me, you will start to experience some crazy stuff. And when we start to behave in our daily actions, in our thoughts, in our, how we allow ourselves to relate emotionally to our environment, if we behave like our higher selves, like that intuition is calling us, then we start to really live as we are truly meant to live. We kind of become gods in the flesh, if you will. The higher self begins to resonate more consistently, and we start to heed the wisdom and advice coming through from the higher centers rather than, you know, the lower animal centers, which is all about, you know, the sex, the money, the security and all that. We start to almost transcend those, and all of the lower variables of life, like, you know, money, security, all that stuff works out because we're kind of almost like walking on water, if you will, when it comes to bending probability.
Right.
I was just saying,
with intuition, I think a big thing that is important is you have to be, you know, to be vibrating on a higher frequency and to really be in touch with your intuition. I think that also takes the appropriate, you know, steps to, like, you know, you need to be working out. You need to do the things that get you to, you know, be at that higher level to really pick up on those signals, you know, that you're not blocked, you know, when you're just, your mind, body, and spirit is very open and clear, you know, it's not from toxins
right.
and stuff like that.
Right.
Which I think
and
is very
one
important.
Definitely, and you just nailed it, man. One of the biggest, most important parts of the equation that, unfortunately, most people misinterpret the wrong way, and they kind of use it as like as permission to like just not take action, is the whole like they'll abuse the you create your own reality paradigm, and they'll say, okay,
mm-hmm.
well, I can just think my way. I'll just sit around and meditate all day and think my way to, you know, $1 million or, you know, my own business. And that's not how it works. Your actions are what bridge the gap, and your emotions are what make you want to take action, and your thoughts are what catalyze your emotional states and what make you feel like you may or may not be able to do this or that. If you just sit around, you're not taking action, so you're really not doing much. But if you begin behaving as you would if you were already where you say you want to be, then you're going to get there so much faster. If you
just
do what you can,
definitely.
If you do with what you have where you are, then you are basically showing reality that, you know, circumstances don't matter. My state of being is prime, and I know that when I stick to my state of being and I don't worry about the external, you know, trivial stuff, that it will work out. And then when you do that enough, you start to see that it's very valid. And it sounds crazy, and I'm always telling people, I'm like, you know, I'm going to sound like a woohoo, new age guru guy here, but seriously, if you change your state of being, that emotional resonance, the core of the emotional center, if you resonate strong enough for like 15 minutes, 3 or 4 times a day, you will start to see little odd synchronicities popping up in your daily routine. You don't really even have to do anything else special right off the bat. Just changing your emotional climate is enough to get some weird stuff going. And then through that, you'll feel inspired. When you start resonating with the higher self, you're going to feel inspired naturally to take actions outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And then that's when things really start changing.
Yeah, the funny thing is that for most people, it's counterintuitive.
Uh-huh. Right.
Right.
But
here's a question for you. How does one discern from logical mind thinking and feeling the intuition or hearing, listening to the intuition? Would you say one's coming from the heart when one's coming from the mind, or how would you describe that?
Yes, definitely. Real intuition, pure intuition, will be a communion between the head and the heart. They'll both be saying, yes, this is that thing. This is what you want to do. That's how you know. If it's just a gut instinct and if there's no well, let me back up a little bit, because we can get intuitive impressions about stuff like on the fly, like this could be dangerous and you don't know why. I would say there's almost like a couple different variations coming through. Some of it's like really instant, like very, very strong sensation about, okay, I don't know why, but this seems wrong or right. I need to leave or I need to trust this. The other form, which is what I think most of us are really going for, because that's kind of more like a fight or flight response. I think what most of us are looking for is that like consistent higher self connection that allows the head and the heart to align instead of, you know, your heart saying, follow your passion, and then your head's going, no, you got to get the money first, or, you know, you need to get a place to live and take care of your bills. Real intuition, your head and your heart are going to line up, and your heart's going to almost be like a flashlight, and your head and your intellect is going to be like the your intuition is going to be like the compass, telling you which direction to go, and then your intellectual centers, your mind, your brain, are going to be like the flashlight showing you where you're stepping. And when you use those in tandem, you can see the path in front of you, and you also know which direction you're heading in, but you're not, you know, foolishly just, all right, I'm going this way because my heart says so, and then bam, right into a brick wall, or, you know, something happens that you could have prevented. So it's definitely a balance, but it's like riding a bike. once you do it a few times, you go, oh my gosh, I understand how my head and my heart work together. It's not just one or the other. I think that's very dangerous, is that like binary thinking that, you know, you've got to be all in your head or all in your heart. That can be very dangerous. I think that's sort of like very misleading. And unfortunately, when people go that route and they either get really, really intellectual or really, really emotional, then sometimes they'll hit the mark, but most of the time they won't. And then they'll end up frustrated and think that they're not, you know, meditating enough or adhering to these principles the right way. And then it's like, no, you're approaching it the wrong way. And it's very subtle, but it's absolutely valid. That's for sure.
That's fantastic, Jason. That's really, really a great way of explaining it. I really like the communion between the heart and mind. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
let's take another, let's ponder that for a minute while we take a station break, and then we'll come back with wrap it up with Jason DeMuck.
Sounds good.
You're listening to Empowering Radio from My Empowered World. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/myempoweredworld. And remember to share and help us spread our message of empowerment.
And we're back with Empowering Radio, brought to you by MyEmpoweredWorld.com. And we are back with Jason DeMuckis. And got about 3 minutes left here, so let's got one or two more questions.
Yeah, let's probably wrap it up with this last question here. So as far as all this information we've been talking about here, you know, how can we use it to really empower ourselves, self-shift our reality, our experience, and really create that type of life that we desire?
Definitely. Like I always tell my clients and the people that I work with, you have a lot more power and influence on the reality that you're embedded in than you are taught to believe you do. You don't have to believe in conspiracy theories or anything like that. No one's withholding information from you. It's all you. When you use these principles, you will see your life begin to shift. A lot of it is based in metaphysics, which is a higher science. Like I said, Western science is beginning to catch up to this stuff. It is absolutely valid and real, and when you tap into it, you kind of clear the path for yourself. You learn which variables are worth worrying about and which stuff is really trivial, and that alone reduces your anxiety, your negative thinking tenfold, and that clears the way for you to begin using these things. And as you guys know through the type of writing that you host on your site and what a lot of the readers are into, is that there's correlation between people that are just explaining this stuff from a different perspective or a different cultural reference, but it's all valid. And when you tap into this, you kind of free yourself from your social conditioning, and you can tap into your true potential unfiltered and move towards that as speedily and fulfillment-wise as you'd like to on your own terms, rather than feeling stressed out and negative and feeling like you have to do this and that before you can live to your potential. So metaphysics is the secret, meditation is the secret, and a positive attitude will do wonders. If you take anything from this conversation, practice bringing your emotional state up and anchoring on what to you represents the highest form of excitement. Hold that energy for 15 minutes, 3 or 4 times a day, and then watch how your reality changes. And then come back and tell us how it went, because I'm sure we want to hear your stories with all this awesome stuff.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, go, Craig.
I was just going to say that's the prescription for the weekend.
Yeah.
Evan, you and I will have to try this 15 minutes a day of holding some high energy excitement. Let's hold each other to that. Let's see what happens, huh?
I'm game. Let's do it. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason,
I'm totally on board.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Hey, Jake, before we close out here, you've got a lot of exciting stuff going on right now. And if you could just kind of give our listeners just kind of an overview of your website, where they can find your books, and also you have a new ebook coming out. Can you just kind of let everyone know kind of what you've got going on as well?
Yes, definitely, absolutely. So I've got a new ebook coming out that deals with how to overcome procrastination. It's twofold. It comes from a classical perspective. It analyzes psychology and what it's brought us to so far in understanding of procrastination. And then on the flip side, the second half of the book goes into more of like a metaphysical higher self definition of approaching it from the other side in a way that we talked about, you know, shifting your emotions first and foremost and watching how that has an effect on your reality. instead of worrying about having to do this, this, and this to cure your procrastination, just focus on this one thing and watch how your life changes. And so it's a unique perspective. It should be out in about 2 weeks. You can find all of that on my website at jasondemakis.com. I also started a new premium subscriber program on my website where I upload exclusive video content of myself doing, you know, like exercise tips, diet, nutrition stuff in my kitchen, meditation guided stuff. All this cool exclusive content for subscribers is on there. You can find that at my site. And I've recently been working through The Last Formula, whose link I'm sure you'll find below as well. An amazing documentary team about raising consciousness in business and bringing together like-minded people and kind of tearing down the barrier between employee and CEO in large corporations. So if that's something that interests anybody, we've got plenty of that as well. You can find all of that stuff on my site, jasondemakis.com. And, yeah, guys, thank you for having me on, as always. Perfect. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, it was great having you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. All right, we'll close it out here on Empowering Radio, brought to you by MyEmpoweredWorld.com. Have a good night.
Life is a beautiful